The state of Oregon, at least part of state government, has been publicly celebrating lately. The state is now more than halfway to a self-set goal of having 50,000 electric vehicles registered by next year, 2020. So there are many more vehicles to register and several incentives to get people to buy EVs. Let's hear about the progress and the programs. Three guests join us. Jennifer Kalez is with the Oregon Department of Energy, where she's Public Affairs and Outreach Coordinator. Welcome, Jennifer. Do we have Jennifer? We do not have Jennifer. Rachel Sakata, are you with us from the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. She's Natural Resource Specialist in Air Planning. Thank you for joining us, Rachel. And Kelly Yurick from Forth Mobility Program Manager, are you with us?
Yes.
Okay. So we have to see if we can get Jennifer on the other line. So, Rachel Sakata, start us off here. The EV program and its incentives have involved the DEQ all along. Tell us about the DEQ role in the program.
Sure. So the DEQ offers a rebate for anyone who purchases or leases an electric vehicle, and it's called the Oregon Clean Vehicle Rebate Program. And essentially, there's two components to the program. Anyone who purchases or leases a new electric vehicle can get a rebate between $1,500 to $2,500. We also offer a $750 rebate for anyone who purchases an electric motorcycle. And then we have another rebate that's offered to folks of low and moderate income households for the purchase or lease of a new or used battery electric vehicle. And for the people who qualify, you could get a $2,500 rebate. And the great thing about that is that you could actually combine that rebate with the other one that I just mentioned. So you could, if you're purchasing a new electric vehicle, and so you could get a rebate of up to $5,000 for this.
$5,000. I'm sorry, was that $5,000 new or used?
Yeah, so you could get a $2,500 rebate for the low and moderate income household if you purchase a vehicle, and then you can also combine it with the other rebate that offers up to $2,500 for purchase or lease of a new electric vehicle. And so when you combine the two, you could get up to $5,000.
Okay, so and how difficult is the math and the paperwork to figure out how to combine those?
It's really not that difficult. We have an application form that you can fill out and submit to us, and you basically just sort of check boxes here and there. We also have on our website an income calculator to help you determine if you might qualify for this lower moderate income rebate. And so we try to make it as easy as possible for people to get this rebate. We also have a program that makes it so where there are participating dealers all across the state who are offering rebates at the time of sale. So you can go walk in, purchase or lease your vehicle. They would take the amount of the rebate that would be applied off of your purchase price, and then you can just walk right out the door and not have to, it's a great opportunity for folks.
So Kelly Yurick from Forth Mobility, which used to be called Drive Oregon, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. So tell us about Forth Mobility's role in trying to expand the electric car offerings and suite in Oregon.
Sure. So Forth is a nonprofit trade association. As you mentioned, we formerly called Drive Oregon, but currently we are a nonprofit called Forth, and we are advancing electric, shared, and smart transportation. The four main areas of our work are policy advocacy, consumer engagement, industry development, and demonstration projects. And I'll just briefly touch on two of those areas. The first is arguably one of the more important ones in terms of what I do, but consumer engagement. And, you know, we recognize that the general public is largely unaware of electric vehicles, the options that are available, and the financial incentives that are available to them, like Rachel just described. And so we work to educate consumers both face-to-face, whether that's in Portland. We have an electric showcase where people can come in and do test drives of various vehicles and learn about the cars as well as charging and financial incentives. And then we also take that on the road across the state and across the region, doing what we call ride and drive events, where we'll bring some vehicles and partner with local dealerships to provide options for people to test drive the cars. And then additionally, we work with employers and to come and talk about electric vehicles at the workplace. We do webinars and kind of the list is very long of the options that we offer in terms of consumer engagement. And then kind of an extension of that is by doing demonstration projects to bring these clean transportation options to communities where they wouldn't otherwise be. So we're in the midst of launching a new one of those projects in Hood River later this fall and early next year.
When you say communities where they wouldn't otherwise be, is it simply because it's they're farther from places where there might be charging hardware, that kind of thing?
There are a lot of factors. That's certainly one of them. So we would say traditionally underserved communities, and in a lot of ways that is reflective of the amount of charging infrastructure that's there. But electric vehicles have also historically been marketed to a very specific demographic. And so we're trying to really break down that model and, demonstrate that electric vehicles can be and should be an option for everyone, everywhere.
Well, that's curious. Then what is the demographic that electric vehicles are usually pointed toward?
Historically, it's been a wealthier demographic. So kind of your middle age to retirement aged, upper middle class demographic.
Okay, so we're shooting for perhaps a more rural demographic or different income levels, a whole bunch of different zones there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, paired with the two rebates that we have in Oregon that Rachel already described, there are a lot of opportunities for some of the barriers to adopting electric vehicles in either rural communities or low-income communities. The opportunity is increasing for everyone.
Electric vehicles in Oregon, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. The state recently announced it's well more than halfway toward a goal of having 50,000 electric vehicles registered in the state by the end of 2020, not the beginning. That helps. We are talking to Kelly Urich at Forth Mobility, where she's the program manager, and Rachel Sakata, natural resource specialist in the Department of Environmental Quality, which is involved with the rebate programs, as you heard. Questions, comments from you, interest in electric vehicles or interest in electric vehicles that you had to say, nope, can't do it this time. Join us on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Rachel Sakata at DEQ, what kind of air quality improvements are we looking at with potentially 50,000 EVs instead of the same number of vehicles burning fossil fuels?
So with electric vehicles, it definitely will help the state achieve its goals to reduce greenhouse gases. Transportation emissions essentially account for roughly 40% of the state's greenhouse gas pollution. So electric vehicles are a great way to help us improve air quality, in addition to reducing other air pollutants such as carbon monoxide, particulate matter, things like that. So we see this program as a great way to improve Oregon's air quality.
There are a couple of phases to the electric vehicle program, is that right? To getting some different approaches to getting cars on the road?
Not exactly. We were phasing the program at one point because there was a court case surrounding the funding for the rebate program, and so we did have to implement the program sort of in phases, as we were saying. But now we are able to implement it fully, in the sense of we are issuing rebates at this time, and so we've issued over 2,400 rebates across the state for a total of $5.9 million. And we continue to see more rebate applications come in, which we're really excited about, and we hope that will continue to grow.
How, you mentioned 5.9 so far, what's the amount available total?
So we get $12 million a year for this program, and the funding started in 2018, and so essentially we have $24 million to work with. So with almost about $6 million spent, we still have a lot of money left, but we are hoping that we will be able to exhaust those funds because it will become such a popular program.
So Kelly Urich, aside from the issues you talked about with some underserved areas, what are some of the places what are some of the places that have the hardest push, it seems, to get people to embrace electric vehicles, either geographically or demographically?
Yeah, so there are a lot of barriers, and you already mentioned the infrastructure. So the availability, or at least the perceived availability of charging infrastructure, is one of the largest barriers that people express to us. They're really concerned if they live in Ashland, for example, if they need to regularly make trips up to Portland, how is the electric vehicle going to be able to accommodate that? And along with that is the range that's available today in the cars that are on the market. And, you know, many people are really shocked to learn that in Oregon we have over 40 models of plug-in cars available, all the way from starting at plug-in hybrid vehicles with a smaller electric range and then a larger gas tank, all the way up to fully electric vehicles that get well over 300 miles on a single charge. In addition to, you know, considerations with the availability of charging infrastructure and the ability of the car itself to provide a reasonable or an acceptable range, just the availability of vehicle types. So in many parts of at least rural Oregon, individuals and households generally rely on larger but still light-duty vehicles such as pickup trucks. And so right now there isn't anything available on the market that really meets that need. However, we're really excited to see that probably next, as early as next year, we'll see the first fully electric pickup truck come to market, and then several other manufacturers are said to be following that in the years to come. So I think, you know, charging infrastructure, which the state is working to support the continued build-out of charging infrastructure across, you know, highways, but also just within communities across the state. And then in addition to just the availability of vehicles where people live.
Electric vehicles, the topic on the Jefferson Exchange in the state of Oregon, where the state just celebrated getting past the halfway point to a goal of 50,000 electric vehicles registered by the end of next year, 2020. Kelly Yerrick is with Forth Mobility. Rachel Sakata is with DEQ, the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Cynthia in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. Cynthia, can you get you? You there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, there we go.
Okay, good. I have a couple questions. One is, could you mention the Pacific Power Program where they are incentivizing businesses, basically businesses that own their own property, to put in a charging station, and the Pacific Power picks up the tab for that? I believe that program is still happening. And then the other question I have, since you are working with industry to some extent, why don't we see more commercials for electric vehicles? That's always puzzled me. I drive a Volt and love it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Cynthia. Appreciate that. So, Kelly Yerrick, let's bring that to you. The Pacific Power Program, are you aware of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for mentioning that. I should have mentioned, in addition to, you know, the state rebate and the federal tax credit, a number of utilities across the state have additional incentives for purchasing electric vehicles, both at the residential level but also at the business level. So as she mentioned, Pacific Power currently has a grant cycle going on. Actually, they just closed it mid-August for the latest cycle, but I anticipate a fourth one to pop up this fall. And basically the opportunity is for business customers of Pacific Power to apply for up to 100% of the funds required to install electric vehicle charging stations at their workplace. And so far this year, this is the third cycle that has just closed. And so they've awarded grants twice earlier this year to a number of organizations and businesses across the state, from the High Desert Museum in Bend, for example, to a number of others, where basically the idea is to put charging stations in where either people are visiting or employees that drive EVs to their workplace and really need a place to charge during the day can then have that opportunity.
And the other question that Cynthia was asking was, why isn't there more advertising? She's not seeing commercials, I guess, about electric vehicles and incentives.
Yeah, that's a great question. I too would love to see more commercials. And in fact, over the past, I would say this 2019 year, I've seen more and more. In fact, during the Super Bowl, just this past February, there were several commercials. I believe Audi had one for their newer model. I've recently seen one for Chevy as a whole, but they feature the Bolt in that commercial. So there are more starting to come up, but I've also seen commercials coming from other organizations. So there's a nonprofit organization in California called Veloz, and they've just launched a huge outreach and media campaign where they actually got Arnold Schwarzenegger to be in a commercial for them promoting electric vehicles. So while it's not necessarily coming to the forefront as much as we might see commercials for, you know, the next big pickup truck, we are starting to see other organizations step in and really provide other media opportunities to get EVs to the forefront.
Rachel Sakata, the outreach, is that handled through the Department of Energy? Does DEQ have a role in that?
So DEQ definitely has a role in that, especially as we are working on this rebate program, and we'll be doing more education and outreach as this rolls out. One thing I did want to note really quickly is that Oregon is one of a consortium of other states who are really trying to push the electric vehicle movement. And one of the things is that we work closely with the auto manufacturers to encourage them to, you know, have more ads and do more outreach in various areas to really make people aware of, you know, the availability of different types of electric vehicle models and things like that. And so we've definitely been working closely with them to ensure that they, you know, market these types of vehicles and people are made aware of them.
Is there any geographic targeting of the marketing that you're aware of, Rachel? I ask because, you know, Portland and Medford both have the emission inspection programs that the rest of the state doesn't know. And I wonder if they're getting extra attention for incentives or anything else.
Well, our rebate program is a statewide incentive. In terms, I can't really speak to the Audi manufacturers in terms of where they market per se. I do know that they probably are targeting specific states that have zero emission vehicle policies or the electric vehicle policy. So, for example, Oregon and California, as well as a handful of Northeast states. So that is definitely part of their primary focus. We have the advantage of being close to being a neighbor of California, who's really been pushing a lot of electric vehicle technology and promotion, and so that definitely sprinkles over into Oregon. But with Oregon's goals, you know, with 50,000 registered electric vehicles by 2020, you know, we're definitely promoting our own sort of electric vehicle revolution, you could say.
Okay, so no part of the state is getting more attention than another is the answer, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any chance that if we get a whole bunch of EVs that at some point I&M could become unnecessary?
You know, that's tough to say. I think it's, you know, one of the goals that the governor has is to, I think by 2035, is that 90% of the fleet would be electric vehicles. But that's something that we're shooting for. And so hopefully we'll get to that goal.
Okay. You know, I was just about to say we're going to run this a little longer, which is a good thing because we actually have Jennifer Kalez with us at last from the Department of Energy. She's the Public Affairs and Outreach Coordinator. Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. So I guess the biggest issue then, yeah, we had some issues with the phones. The biggest question for you then would be there's certainly cause for celebration having gotten to the halfway point plus, but I mean, that's still 23,000 plus vehicles to register in basically what, 16 months or something?
That's right. That's very true. You know, it's obviously a bold goal that Governor Brown outlined in 2017. But you know, it's no fun if you create an EV goal immediately. So I'm not sure if you've covered this already, but we're adding about 500 or so electric vehicles each month. So to reach that goal of 50,000 in the next 16 months or so.
Okay, that's a bunch. So let me come back to Kelly Urich at Fourth Mobility. You said there are 40 models out there, even exclusive of a pickup truck at this point?
That's correct, yes.
Wow, and you mentioned one. You said that it can go 300 miles fully electric?
Yeah, that is the Tesla. Tesla models can get upwards of 300. There are several other auto manufacturers that can achieve anywhere between 200 and 300 miles, though. And all of them, there are several of those that also will qualify for not only the Oregon rebates, but also the federal tax credits.
Is there any thinking on what might be a tipping point? Is there a particular magic distance? And of course, in Oregon, you know, it seems like 280 miles would be it, because you can get from Medford to Portland on one charge. But elsewhere, is there a thinking that there is a magic point at which people go, oh, okay, I'm going to get an electric car now?
Yeah, you know, I think based on conversations I've had, you know, I think once we hit 300 across the board, people will more or less accept that the range is going to be sufficient for my needs, our needs, everyone's needs. That said, the reality is 60%, 80% of Americans drive less than 25 miles in a day. So when you put it that way, really the range needs to be, you know, we're already there in terms of what the cars can offer. And it's when you get into those longer trips where you really think you might need that longer range to meet your needs. And then that's when the build-out of charging infrastructure can really help fully paint the picture and make it more realistic.
All right. So as of August 1st, I see 26,218 registered electric vehicles and 1,495 public chargers in 620 locations. Jennifer Kales, did the legislature give you any more tools to work with to beef up the electric fleet this year? Okay, Jennifer, your phone just isn't doing it for us. I'm sorry about that. We're getting a lot of dropout from cell phone or VoIP. I'm not sure what's going on there. So sorry about that. Let's Rachel Sakata, do you know the answer to that question about legislation this year?
So I can speak a little bit to the legislation. There was Senate Bill 1044, which basically directs the Department of Energy to assess sort of, you know, what sort of programs are sufficient to transform the electric vehicle market. And so it looks at, you know, vehicle ownership, it looks at charging infrastructure, things like that, to basically see how we can achieve our goal of at least, you know, 50,000 vehicles by 2020, and also the larger goal of trying to get 250,000 registered vehicles by 2025.
Kelly Yerrick, you don't work for the state. How confident are you that we'll get to the 50,000 next year?
You know, I think I'm fairly confident that the momentum is growing, and, you know, every month it seems that another manufacturer makes a huge announcement of electrification, and many manufacturers have made huge commitments for delivering more fully electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles in 2020, including the electric pickup.
Okay, we will see. Kelly Yerrick at Forest Mobility, Jennifer Kales at Department of Energy, Rachel Sakata at DEQ. Thank you all for talking electric cars on The Exchange.